Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Wherever summer takes you, save on your journey with True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull. Enjoy the new Red Bull Summer Edition, White Peach, a perfect balance of bold, sweet, and refreshing. Right now, grab any 3 8-ounce Red Bull for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon, just in time for your next road trip. Save big all summer long with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
It's a Saturday morning in CCO land. This one, the first Saturday of summer, and it's going to be a hot one, as Al said. 97, both today and tomorrow. Time once again to bring in Nick Stoffel, ASC certified technician at Lloyd's Automotive in St. Paul. Nick, good morning.
Good morning, Denny.
I wonder what kind of calls Lloyd's will be receiving this weekend.
I'll give you one guess.
Yeah. We're going to talk about that coming up. By the way, again, if you have any kind of a car care question, let's say you need to bring your vehicle in for service, your favorite shop, your favorite dealer, but you want to know a little bit of what may be ailing and what you may be facing, or if you just want to ask this technician a question about your car, whatever that is, call it in, text it in, 651-461-9226. But do keep in mind, Nick's stay here is so short. He will take his leave about 7:45, just before Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. So any kind of a question, love to hear from you sooner rather than later. Again, 651-461-9226. Earlier question, I think it was a good one, too. I haven't thought about this in a long time. Listener, and of course we have, as you know, the smartest listeners, overheating. Texter basically said that I don't see cars off the side of the road, you know, with overheating problems, you know, and I thought about that. You don't see that as often, if at all. Am I correct in that? It just seems like you don't see that anymore.
No, not nearly as much as you used to. I think the way they've designed the cooling systems, the way the engines are designed, the airflow, which is a big theme, we have to keep the air moving through the radiator to keep that coolant at the right temp. The way they control the thermostat. So there's a lot, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that we used to do a lot more of or see a lot more issues with. You know, we talked about radiator hoses a couple of weeks back, and, you know, we don't see radiator hoses bulge up and puff up like they used
Why
to.
Why do you think that is, Nick?
I think it's because the coolant doesn't get contaminated like it used to. Okay. I think the engines are much more sealed. We don't have the exhaust combustion getting into the coolant, which is very, very potent and creates a lot of issues. Even leaks, you know, engines don't leak like they used to, you know, we used to be called grease monkeys, and that's not the case anymore. I mean, we still have some of that work, but it really has evolved and changed. And, I think when you don't have those fluids leaking everywhere, saturating things, creating failures, you know, like I said, the cooling radiators, the cooling fans, everything's much more precise now. So we can really kind of zone in on what we want and, you know, they can achieve it through the technology.
And I don't want to say we're spoiled, but we really count on our vehicles. We get in, we start it, boom, we take off. And you don't think about that stuff anymore. How important is it? You're talking about coolant, and I've read, and we've talked about it over the years, as far as specific coolant, maybe it's transmission fluid, whatever, specific for your vehicle. Is that always important? Because you guys, you and your crew there, I mean, you've got all these computers. You know what's supposed to go into this particular vehicle. But that's important, isn't it?
For sure. And I do think we are spoiled to the extent that we don't realize how we rely on our vehicle. And, you know, we push a button and we, you know, we're off to, on our schedule, which our schedules are hectic. You know, we go from one end of the city to the other and back and forth and everything in between. And, you know, that maintenance that we like to talk, it's kind of taking care of your vehicle. You remember to put gas in it, because if you don't, it's not going to run. But we need to remember to change the oil and do the other service and maintenances. You know, as far as coolant goes, there are global, what they call like a global coolant, which meets many manufacturer specifications. You have to make sure your vehicle manufacturer or product is on that, you know, label. And that's okay to top off with. I still feel that we want to use the specific coolant itself if we're doing a big service, if we're replacing a component or if we're flushing the system or we're adding a gallon or 2 gallons, you know, a significant amount. We really prefer to use the original equipment specified fluid. Topping it off where the reservoir's down a little bit, you know, a pint or half a pint. I think the global stuff is just fine. As far as transmission fluid goes, there we need to be very careful that we know what the specification is and we use that exact specification even when we're topping off. You put the wrong transmission fluid in there, it's a hydraulic unit, hydraulic pump in there, you could create some significant problems. So be very careful if you're ever adding any transmission fluid.
If you have any kind of a car care question, we would love to hear from you either by phone or by text, whichever is easier, 651-461-9226. Listener sends a text, says, what causes a stabilization/traction display light to come on in a 2013 Suburban with 60,000 miles on it? What causes stabilization traction display light? What could be going on there?
Well, my first thought would be maybe it's something with one of the sensors at the wheels. You know, the traction control, the anti-lock brake, stabilization is monitoring all four wheels. And if one is spinning or skidding, it's going to pick up on that. So if one of those sensors is reading inaccurately, where the, you know, when they compare the four, it's going to flag the light saying, we know that we're not in a slide. We know that we're not spinning the tires. However, we're not getting the reading that we want. So it's going to, as a default, turn the lights on, which shut that system down. It's our necessary responsibility to go make sure that's assessed, figured out which component or why. Is it a wiring problem? Is there some debris? You know, I mean, there's lots of variables there, and they're all not super expensive, so it's probably worth at least to have it assessed, figure out what's going on. Then you can make an informed decision on a repair.
All right, very good. Texts are coming in this morning. Let's see. Good morning. One says, I replaced a transmission pressure switch, and it helped. But I found out there was another pressure switch. Should I replace that one also? It has something to do with gear shifting, I think, Texter says.
I don't like to replace just to replace. Inadvertently, sometimes you maybe make a mistake in the procedure, or there's another mishap that's created that you're not aware of, and then you create a new problem. And then you start kind of, you know, chasing your tail around, figuring out what the problem is. So what I would say is if we have a fault code or a drivability concern, we diagnose that fault, replace that component, and that's all the further I would probably recommend going.
All right. Again, 651-461-9226. Nick will stay here with us on CCO till just about 7:45. In newer vehicles, I'm looking at another text that just came in. There's an oil life. We get this from time to time. There's an oil life sensor percentage. Should that be trusted for oil change intervals, or should the owner's manual and mileage quantity be the reference? We get that a lot.
We absolutely do. One of my strongest convictions with automotive repair is change your oil on synthetic oil at 5,000 miles. If your vehicle still uses conventional oil, it's 3,000 miles. I know there's a lot of science maybe arguing, a lot of marketing arguing a different number, but based on what we see is with repairs, with failures, with unnecessary problems that likely could be prevented from changing your oil. And, you know, if the manufacturer's saying 7,500, 10,000, that's like one or two extra oil changes over a couple of years. So it's really not that significant, but the vehicle, I promise you, really appreciates that. So 5,000 miles on a synthetic, 3,000 miles on a conventional oil, those indicators are nice. It's a good reminder, but I feel very strongly about keeping it that interval.
I think, and if one changes oil often, Not maybe, like you said, 3,000 conventional, 5,000. If you consistently do that one thing, that I think, from what I've learned doing the show, is that vehicle's going to last a long time. We'll be very grateful for you doing that.
You know, absolutely. And it's not, you know, foolproof. It's not saying you're never going to have any problems.
Of course.
But I promise you, we see so much more mechanical-related issues due to like sludge, carbon buildup, things that could be prevented with changing the oil. So I know we talk about it often. We're very passionate about it. But every day we still see that work coming into the shop. And, of course, we're going to do it because that's what we're there for.
Yeah.
But you just hate to see people have problems that could prevent it. You know, I mean that. Like, there's a way to help people keep the car on the road, maintain it. The failures will happen regardless. It's this type of stuff we'd rather prevent.
For sure. Nick, hang on. We'll take a quick break. We have a couple of callers coming in here as well as texters, and we'll get more questions answered here on CCO's Car Care Show. We're here every Saturday. Thanks to Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive. We'll be back in a moment. CCO temperature reading, keep in mind we're at 83. You may still see a few showers before we see all that sunshine. 97, the high today and tomorrow. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO. And a good Saturday morning to you. Welcome back on this hot weekend, 97, the high today and again tomorrow here in the Twin Cities. We're in the midst of CCO's Car Care Show. Danny Long here, along with Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive. We're going to get to Danny and Becky on the phone in a moment, Nick. But for folks who need some help from you and your crew with Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Absolutely. We always will answer your questions, so don't hesitate to call. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And then after this little heat wave we have here, if you're out and about on Grand Avenue, we're at 982 Grand Avenue. That's in the corner of Grand and Chatsworth. Stop and say hi. And finally, check out our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Very good. We will get you that information just before Nick leaves us, which is about 7:45 or so. As promised, let's get back to the phones. By the way, 651-461-9226. That'll get you either a phone call or a text to Nick Stauffel. Danny, you're first up here, calling from Taylor's Falls, great area. Danny, what's your question for Nick?
I have a 2018 Chevy Equinox, and a little light come on. It shows like a motor, but when it run, the light wasn't on. When you stepped on the brake at a stop sign, the car would shut off. Now it don't do that. Can I leave it like that, or should I have it checked?
My suspicion is that there's possibly an issue with the battery. If the battery is getting weak, it's not allowing for the start-stop technology to work. And we talk about that from time to time, and I'm a big fan of it. You know, I know people worry about the wear and tear, but I think the trade-off with the amount of emissions that we're saving is probably a good thing. But anytime you have a warning light on, things are not behaving or acting like they used to, you should have it looked at. You know, and once again, depending what the issue is, depending what the cost is, you can make an informed decision. But at this point, we're just kind of guessing. I'd hate to see you get in a situation where you're stuck. For example, being if that battery is getting weak, this is your warning. Next time you go to drive it, or next time you're out and about and you're away from home or away from work, you could get stuck. So my advice would be to have it looked at. Once you know what's going on, then you can decide what you'd like to do.
Very good. Thank you, Danny. Becky is on the horn calling in from North St. Paul this morning. Thanks for waiting, Becky. What is your question?
We purchased a new Toyota RAV4 a couple months ago, and they have an extended warranty and corrosion protection. Do you feel that is necessary for like $3,600?
Well, I don't want to waste people's money, and I don't want to talk people out of things they're passionate about. My opinion would be the corrosion protection, I feel it's an overkill. We've talked about this in the past. I believe even with our winter months, on the right days of the winter, you can still run your vehicle through the wash. If you try to do that on a weekly basis or depending on the roads, you get a lot of salt and a lot of grime, can't see out the windows, it's due for a car wash. So on that front, I would say I'd like to see people just keep the car clean. You know, a lot of times the salt and stuff that is corrosive kind of makes its way in the nook and crannies, and a lot of times those protective agents that they apply don't make it there, where when you run it through the car wash, you have the liquid water going through, it kind of flushes that out. So that's my opinion there. Now, as far as an extended warranty goes, I've been doing this a long time. We've seen them for a long time. Some of them are great, some are not, and I can't tell you who, when, why, or what. I also believe if you maintain your vehicle, follow the service manual, I believe that if you were to take the money that thing costs for however many years, at last, if you use that money to repair your vehicle, I suspect you'll have more money left over. So my opinion would be take that $3,600 you just described, put it in a savings account, use it as you need it for the next X number of miles, and I think you'll be surprised to find out you have money left over.
Yeah. All right, Becky, good question. Again, here's our number, 651-461-9226. Texter says this, 2012 Jeep Grand Cherokee Limited. The water pump has been replaced a few times in the last 5 to 6 years. Is this a known recurring problem in this year or this model? Have you seen or heard anything like that?
Not off the top of my head. It happens. Sometimes, there's a make and a model that just has a hard time with a certain component. However, I would also ask if I'm going to the same place, and they're taking care of you, maybe we try a different brand. Maybe there's just something about that brand in your vehicle. And I know that doesn't make always the most sense, but we ran into it. You know, you work on a lot of cars. You do this for a lot of years. So you see some strange stuff, and you got to try something different. So maybe it's a different brand. And also, let's make sure there's not something else going on there. Why is this thing failing? Do we have any kind of obstruction issues? Do we have any contamination issues? How is it failing? Is it a bearing? Is it a leak? You know, I would like to do a little more research. You know, if it's the mounting surface of the pump to the engine that it keeps leaking, maybe there's some contamination or corrosion on the mounting surface there. So it's not really failing. It's leaking because, you know, it's not sealing up properly. So there's some variables there that we should get some more information on. But ultimately, I would go back to that shop or dealership and say, hey, this really seems strange. I got a problem again now. What are we going to do differently?
Okay. Another question we get from time to time here on the show, and I'm sure you do too in the biz. When replacing tires, Texter says, are we only to consider depth of tread, or is age of tires also a consideration? We get that a lot.
We do, and if you drive your vehicle per average miles per year and such, or within that bubble, you're going to be fine. They'll be worn out before they age out. Now, that being said, if your car sits half of the year or a majority part of the year, you're not getting the miles on to wear them down, the tires will start to kind of dry out, might get some cracking in them. A visual inspection would tell you that. So, you know, if you're in for a service, you know, I have a vehicle with a few years on it, but not very many miles, have them take a peek at the tires. They might say, okay, you know, they're looking fine, but I think you'll find once they get in age, more years on them, that rubber will dry out and you'll start to some cracking. At that point, it's just as bad as if they're worn out, so you should have them replaced.
Very good. Nick, hang on. We're going to take a break and look at that hot forecast coming up here for the Twin Cities. So stay with us. If you have any kind of a car care question, we'd love to hear from you. Nick will be with us for about another 15 minutes. Call or text 651-461-9226. From News Talk 830, this is WCCO. Good morning. Welcome back to CCO's Car Care Show. We are here every Saturday. Thanks to Nick Stauffel from Lloyd's Automotive for helping you out every Saturday right after the 7 o'clock news break. Nick, as usual, we have a bunch of texters. Let's see how many folks we can help out before you take your leave today. Here is a 2011 Taurus, 140,000 miles on it. The dual defrost / heating, the drive passenger side always blows cold air. Which is a good thing today, but any thoughts on that?
Well, inside that control head, there's in the back, there's like blenders, as we like to call them, and what they do is there's a little motor with a flap that kind of controls the temperature of the air. There's another set of flaps that control the location of the air, so we'll often get the concern where we don't have good heat or air on one side, or sometimes it's not blown out to defrost, it's blown on the floor, and there, like I said, there's a series of motors and flaps that control all of that. My suspicion is the one that controls the temperature for the passenger side is not working properly. There likely or might be a fault code, so someone could scan that, start there, get a little information, get the wiring diagram, trace out the circuit, try to determine if we have good powers and grounds, good control. If all that is fine, our concern at this point is that the motor itself or the flap itself is somehow faulty. Some of them are very easily accessible, meaning that they're at the base of the dash, kind of right above your feet. However, some of them are not very conveniently located on the back of the dash. So the assessment gets done, the diagnosis gets done, location is decided. At that point, you can get an estimate, and hopefully it's one of the easily accessible ones, because in some cases, you remove that whole dash panel, that can be many, many hours of work and very costly. So like Danny said, I think today we're good with the cold, but as the seasons go along, we know the seasons aren't very long sometimes, so just make sure you keep that in mind as we get through the summer.
Here's another one that would take, I'm sure, one of your technicians to drive it for a bit, these mystery sounds. Texter has just started hearing a squeaking sound under the hood after driving and turning 5 to 10 minutes after starting. What are your thoughts? Well, that could be a bunch of stuff, right?
It could. Now, typically a squeaky noise is something rubbing, lack of lubrication, something's worn. Obviously, the squeak is our warning. It's kind of your heads up. What I do appreciate here is that they had a drive cycle we could duplicate. Drive it 5 to 10 minutes if you're turning. That kind of stuff's really important because I can't tell you how many times people come in and say they have a noise. And then we drive it, and we don't hear what they hear, or vice versa, or we hear something different, and we're chasing the wrong thing. So if you do have a noise, make sure you share that information that they can duplicate it, whatever the drive cycle is, or whatever it is that you need to do to make that happen. It's very helpful. It makes us find the job quick, or the problem quicker, which can save you some money. And it helps us with our flow of our day and help more people. So my guess is going to be it's after it's been driving for a bit, maybe something related with the belt. There's a tension around the belt. Maybe the belt is slipping a little bit, making a little bit of noise. It would be my first guess without seeing or hearing it, but I would advise you have time to get a closer look at that.
And the texter did use the word turning, like it appeared while turning.
So if the power steering's loaded,
yeah,
there's a little more stress on that, so the belt might be slipping under there. I mean, there's a nice couple variables and some very good information there. So
yeah,
when we're driving the vehicle, we can open the hood. We can try to figure out what's going on.
Interesting question. Text says, any advice for repairing leather seats?
You know, there used to be a lot of people in town that did that upholstery repair. Off the top of my head, I know there's one outfit we use, and I can't think of its name or its location, but you get on that, you know, Google it, as we always say. You'll find somebody that can help you with that. And keep in mind, a lot of times, you know, depending on the age of the vehicle, when they're patching that type of stuff, they're replacing one section of the leather. It might not match 100%. So depending how bad the tear is, you might decide whether or not to have it repaired or wait a little bit.
Looking at a text from Diane in Monticello, which I think is an interesting one. Two questions, Diane says, when parking on an incline, should you first put the car in neutral, then emergency brake, and then take your foot off the brake and put it in park so that the emergency brake holds the rollback? Number two, when backing up, is it harmful to shift to drive before you make a complete stop? A couple of good questions. I like the one about the parking brake. What do you think of that?
You know, I don't have a problem with it for sure, but they're designed for you to, you know, with your foot on your brake, to put it into park and let the transmission hold the weight of it. They're designed for that because that's what almost everyone does. Using your parking brake, if you are a regular user of your parking brake, go ahead, keep using it. If you only use it once in a great while, be careful because sometimes they can get stuck on, and we see that a lot too. So if part of your regular routine is when I park my vehicle, I'm on an incline, I'm going to use this, and I've always done that, you're just fine. But if it's the first time you've used that parking brake in years, be very careful. You know, I would say a good way to have that tested is when you're in for service, say, hey, I haven't used my parking brake for a long time. Can you try it to make sure everything's okay there? Because like I said, the last thing you want to do is be in a situation where you think you need it. Now it's stuck. It makes matters way worse.
Yeah, I don't think I ever use it.
And then what was the second question again, Dan?
Second question is as far as driving, if you put it in reverse and then you slam it right into drive, is it harmful to shift to drive before you make a complete stop?
If it's a gentle roll, I don't think it does much because really what we're doing, we're switching the transmissions, we're changing where the fluid flows through electronic solenoids. I can tell you when I was 16 years old and we used to do that, it was for a different reason. And you don't want to do that. You don't want to be, you know, going in reverse at a high rate and throw it into drive and get the tire spinning because that's really hard on a lot of things. So don't do that. But if it's a slight roll, I mean, I don't think it's going to harm a lot, but ideally you like to stop the vehicle, go from reverse to drive. You know, that way you know everything's completely stopped and okay. But if there's any movement, you're probably not going to hurt something.
Okay. This text probably will be our last one. Keep in mind, I'm just reading the text. This is not my words. Hello, I'm the proverbial old lady who, quote, only drives my car to church. 2018 Yukon. She says, I don't drive 3,000 miles in a year. Recommendation for the, I would imagine, the oil change, every 5,000. Should I change once a year, even if I don't get to 5,000? Good question.
I think I would say yes, because there's still the condensation, our different climate, our different seasons. When the oil gets up to the running temp, it gets to the deep, cold winter months, we're going to have condensation. That moisture will get absorbed into the oil, which can create sludge. So yes, once a year for sure. The other thing I challenge you to do is on the right day and you're in the right mood, take the long way to church. You know, don't go out of your way and get lost, obviously, but going straight down one block over and taking a left isn't good. You need to get the brakes exercising. The exhaust needs to be cleared out. So if you're comfortable getting it on a highway, take the long way. Or, you know, people say, I just go to the corner grocery store. Well, go to the grocery store on the other corner, right? Go a little bit further. You know, it's good for the vehicle to get, you know, kind of spread its wings a little bit. Make sure you get all those things working and lubricated and cleaned up.
Like you guys at Lloyd said, cars are meant to be driven, not sitting.
And maintained,
absolutely. Well, Nick, I know we have to make way for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. For those folks that do need the assistance from you and your crew at Lloyd's, how do we find you guys?
Absolutely. You can reach us at 651-228-1316. And if you're in St. Paul on Grand Avenue, we're two blocks east of Lexington Parkway at 982 Grand. And you'll find all that information and more at our website, which is lloydsautomotive.net.
Always check it out. Thanks, Nick. Let's talk next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Denny.
Nick Stoffel from Lloyd's Automotive. Yeah, get ready for Ted Farrell's Wine Chat. And then in the 8 o'clock hour on our Smart Garden Show, Laura Irish Hansen from the UM will be answering all of those lawn and garden questions. So keep those in mind. Stay with us. News Talk 830 WCCO on this hot weekend.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Anyone who loves playing baseball or softball knows that one of the first steps in that journey is breaking in your first glove. It's where your love of the game began. Where does your child's baseball or softball journey begin? Go to playball.org to get started. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.